on to race number five, guys. First leg of the quaddie. Artok stays at home. This is a pretty hot looking M1, M2, Mr. Bonington.
It certainly is. Some really nice horses here. Clearly, the class runner in terms of what they've achieved in their career to date, Major Crocker. He's a Breeders' Crown winner as a 3-year-old, of course, and has gone really well without being able to stamp his imprimatur on his 4-year-old season. He just found three or four.
Stamp his imprimatur.
Lovely word, imprimatur.
That's just beautiful work.
It is. He's got a deep vocabulary, Bronis.
Yes, no, I was reasonably strong vocabulary, Blake, and certainly you're getting better.
Dan Malecki saying that. And here's Menengate stamping his imprimatur on the race.
And wouldn't he stamp it? Wouldn't he Bang. Give it a good stamp, the big boy?
Absolutely.
he couldn't quite stamp his imprimatur, unfortunately. Just found three or four better than him through his 4-year-old season, but... still probably one of the horses to beat. I've actually marked him second behind Des Don Maruffy, and it pains me to say this because mate of mine, Gareth Hall, is a part owner in
I tried to
Des
say
Don
hello
Maruffy.
To Gareth. He just sort of waved me away.
Well, as he does.
Yeah, he does that. He's probably just ashing his cigarette. It's very hard to tell sometimes. He just sort of flicks them like that. So loves a durry, the kid, and loves Des Don Maruffy.
With the wind that was blowing on Sunday, it was on the Western Freeway.
Gareth. Look. And he does part own this horse, and I think it'll win. I think it'll lead and win. It's been a massive improver for Matty Craven. He's doing things I never thought Des Don Maruffy would do, and I certainly never thought he'd win an M1 to M2, particularly one with the Breeders' Crown winner among his rivals. But I think he can do the job. Major Crocker, the major danger. Leanne Noir, super lovable mare, should get the gun run in behind Des Don Maruffy and could be paying something. Might be the best bet in the race from a value perspective. And then you're out to Manuka Man, who is just not quite... fulfilling his potential right at the minute, but I think he's got a huge amount of ability. And if it is a strongly run race, and I think it will be with Major Crocker drawn wide on the second line, he's a blowout hope at big odds, Blake. But yeah, pains me to say it, but I'm going with Des Don Maruffy on top.
In all seriousness, I can wake up Sunday morning if I haven't seen this race, and you could tell me any one of the 10 or 11 runners have won it, and I would not be shocked. It is that wide and that deep, I don't even want to have an opinion on it. It's yeah, I think Des Don Maruffy is certainly a horse that's in the mix. I think Leanne Noir, if she follows through and he leads, then she comes right into it. But in terms of class, you're right, Major Crocker can make a move. Outrageous Al has got really high speed. Got to go Yankee at his best is somewhere in the mix, and he's probably going to go around at 20 or 26 to 1. So in terms of punting, quaddie-wise, I think it has to be the field because genuinely any horse could win this.
Any horse could win. Okay, on to race number six. Hopefully we can skinny it down here,
we can.
Lads. Second leg of the quaddy, no scratchings. All right, you're bullish. How do we skinny it down, Blake?
I'm really keen on McTerra Ladd. Now, you read his form guide and he comes off an eighth last start, a duck egg three starts back, but he was going around in the Breeders' Crown Series, ran a really good second prior to the final, and just the final didn't work out for him, but this is a big drop in class. I think it's a race where he can go around and use a bit of intimidation, maybe get to the chair, work them over a little bit. He's a really smart horse at his best, and the drop in class suggests to me that tomorrow night will be the night that he can get back to the winner's stall. So he's going to go around probably second or third favourite of $4 or $4.40. I'd almost be willing to take him one out in at least one of your quaddies. In terms of danger, Changing Codes got really high speed. Again, Jason mentioned Matty Craven, stable, low flying. Well, this horse has proven that for sure and certain in its last two flying home last halves. And Presidential Secret goes into the mix somewhere. Stunning Grin. Even a horse like Bushrod at massive odds could get into things. But in terms of quaddies, I think you can play one at least with McTerra Ladd one out. Bonners, you sticking with Matty Craven?
I am. Look, this horse Changing Code, it's half an interesting story, really, because unfortunately we didn't have a highlight moment for harness racing in Victoria a couple of days ago when the verdict was handed down on Shane and Greg Cramp. But one thing we do know is that they had some really nice horses, Shane Cramp, and now they've gone off to their various stables, of course, with his disqualification. John Justice got hot as Al, who went from being a nice-looking Sunraysia horse to a potential superstar in a short time down here, and Changing Code looks capable of doing something similar for mine. His last two starts, the electric speed he's shown you just don't see. He's running 54 and change last halves. What I see happening in this race is that McTerra Ladd is going to have to make a decision, or at least Amy Tubbs is going to have to make a decision. Does she burn up a horse who's pretty green still and a late bloomer and try and get into the breeze mid-race, or does she take off with one big run? Either way, they're going to be vulnerable to the late speed of Changing Code. If Changing Code's right on McTerra Ladd's back, I think it'll run past him. and if McTerrellet has to work too hard to find the breeze, he'll be left vulnerable. They're really the only two serious winning hopes. The only other one I might throw into a saver quaddy is number 8, Stunning Grin, who is bursting out to win a Metropolitan Maiden, but just can't find a race that's 100% suitable. And here he faces two virtual budding stars here in McTerrellet and Changing Code. And then you're out to horses like Fernco, Bobby G, and even Franco Tiago, who's your likely leader. But this is going to be a great race. I'm enjoying all these preferential races at the moment at Tabcorp Park because you're seeing these really good horses drawn wide off the second line, and you know it's going to ensure a truly run race and the best horse will win.
Race 7, guys. Third leg of the quaddy is a trot over the 22.40. They are all running. Savannah JJ looks pretty well positioned from the pole bonners.
Another two or three horse race here, and I'm going with Savannah JJ on top, but I think Blake's going to get more aggressive about this. He's done a terrific job, Savannah JJ. I find that he doesn't mind finding one better than him sometimes. This is an ideal scenario for him. He'll lead from the pole marking draw. He'll be able to dictate the race and should win. But I will say this, drawn off the second line, Son of Sunoco is a vastly superior horse. In fact, if he didn't have an injury-interrupted career, Son of Sunoco, as I wrote in the form comment, would be heading towards a great Southern Star or the very best races going around. Your Bill Collins Moles, your Australian Trotting Grand Prix. That's the ability that I believe he has. I think before he went for a break, he beat Glenferrie Typhoon by about 17 or 18 metres. So this is a really, really smart horse. He's had two runs back and been beaten both times by Savannah JJ or beaten home by him. But I feel third up from a break, that's the old galloping parlance. I think third up from a break,
1400.
We're pretty fit. So I'd say he gets his opportunity now to maybe turn the tables. And the stablemate of Son of Sunoco, the only other winning hope, like Just Sam Morrell. Interesting to note about this horse, I saw in the stewards report last preparation, he struggles to make a move around the bends. He gallops if you make a mid-race move with him. So his versatility is constricted in that way, but he's a very good horse in his own right. And if they go quickly up front, he might be able to have one last crack at them and get the job done. I'm going with Savannah JJ, but my heart lies with Son of Sunoco. What about you, mate?
Yeah, well, I can agree with the first half of the equation and disagree with the second half because I'm going with Savannah JJ and my heart also lies with him. I think he's just got enough speed that he'll burrow through. He's not a blinding beginner, but he begins quickly enough. He should be able to hurry through, hold them out. And I've got a big opinion of him. I think he's a really nice horse. Now, he does, as you say, can find one better on occasion, but things just haven't tended to go his way in his last couple. I wouldn't be blaming him for it. I think everything will go his way tomorrow night, and I think he's certainly the horse to beat. I'm an anonymous drawn on his back isn't going to be any sort of serious threat. Son of Sunoco, you mentioned, he is getting better all the time, and he is one of two dangers, which you've spoken about, Jussa Muriel, the other. But in terms of the way the race will pan out, I just think everything suits Savannah JJ, and this is his big chance to get back to the winner's stall. So if you're playing wide in the first leg of the quaddy, and you want to skinny it down, McTerrellad's the first way to skinny it, and the second way, Savannah JJ won out in the second leg, and we're about to get the next one, John, but we aren't going to get much fatter in the last leg of the quaddy.
Well, I'm getting a bit excited here because I can see a big start to the quaddy and then just anchor. And this is
a pyramid
case
of sorts.
Let's hope it's not built on sand, mate. Group 3, Casey Classic, Philadelphia Man, $1.25 will be very hard to beat. Flaming Flood is $7, Franco Legend $7, Cold Major is $9. Bonners, I'm not really an odds-on punter. You are, of course, being...
He can.
Your means,
he can dabble heavily.
Your means, you become a whale. The only question, is Philadelphia Man correctly assessed at $1.25 falls on?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
It's an interesting price because...
I'm still trying to work at your pyramid that just goes like this and then it's just got, you know, it's got a fat bottom and then fat bottom girls and then it just goes straight
what
up.
What would you call it then?
Look, I don't know, but I wouldn't have gone with pyramid. Tell me... Go on, Philadelphia Man, $1.25.
It's an interesting price because it suggests that he's the winner, but it's not $1.10, let's be honest.
Look, the only little part of the equation, if you think there is something amiss here, is that Franco Ledger or Flaming Flutter or Excitus and the City, God help us, can get across him at the start somehow.
Yeah.
Don't worry about Cold Major holding the lead.
No.
If Philadelphia Man has to sit parked outside Cold Major, there will be a gastronomic event of sorts where he eats the horse in the last 300
metres. I don't necessarily
agree.
Cold Major can do his own work and run quick times in front.
He's not going to resist the power of Philadelphia Man in the last 300 metres if he tries to hold him out.
I don't think he'd drop out, though, if I don't think Philadelphia Men would try and drill him, and I don't think Cold Major would drop out.
I think Cold Major's dream scenario in these sort of races is to be able to lead, drop anchor, and then sprint 54 home.
Yeah.
If Philadelphia Men says, look, we might go 28-28 through the middle quarters, then I think Cold Major could be in big bother. And that's why I think there's very little chance Josh Aiken will even try and hold Philadelphia Men out. He'll get the front. He'll win comfortably. For exotics here, I think you've got a chance to make some good money, and here's why, because I think Cold Major will hand up the lead pretty meekly, and everyone will look at this race and say, Flaming Flutter, Franco Ledger, you've got your Inter Dominion and Hunter Cup runners-up. These horses will run second and third. Well, they very well might both miss a place here, and Cold Major and the horse three back the inside, Five-Star Anvil, who's a sizzling sit sprinter, they could easily run second and third here. So I'd be playing some trifectas and first fours, half ignoring the concept of either Franco Ledger or Flaming Flutter running second, because if they're in the running line over 17:20 with Philadelphia Men in front, it will be a peg-dominated affair. Blakey.
Bonners, I don't know what to add to that except for to say that when the fields first came out, we flagged that this could be the case, and it's worked out perfectly. I agree wholeheartedly. Philadelphia Men should lead, even if he has to sit outside Cold Major for some bizarre circumstance. I still think they're the three horses with Five-Star Anvil that will run the trifecta. You can't even afford to play a little saver with Flaming Flutter and Franco Ledger to run second and run third, but play your main way with 1 and 8 to run at least second, both placings. And maybe if we had a good form tomorrow morning, we may be able to see a little bit more of that action. But no, I agree wholeheartedly, Bonners. I can't add much more to that. Maybe you could play one little saver with either 1 or 8 to beat number 4 for second. Maybe.
I won't be doing that, JT.
No, he won't be doing that. He'll just be having a gastronomic delight. Free Run and Trotters Free For All. Keystone Dell, $1.15. Pretty Sunday, $8.50. Neville Vaughan, $11. Aleppo Midas is also at $11. Those odds, of course, from our good mates at TAB. If you look at this race purely on ratings, Keystone Dell has 13 rating points clear of Aleppo Midas and another 9 then to Monorail. So if $1.25 is the quote for Philadelphia Man, $1.15 Keystone Dell, what price should Keystone, if you were out there at Melton and with a bag and all that, what would you have him?
What's the shortest I can have him?
$1.04. No, make him bet $1.04.
$1.01.
If I've got the bag in hand, I'm betting $1.01.
Well, you know what I'd do if I were you, Bonners? I would lay every single bet back off with a tab because the minimum price you'll get is $1.04.
Oh, probably would. That's a great idea. This man's been raised in hay, I think. He's been raised among the racetracks. He knows what it is.
Now, that's correct. Not a place bet. A place bet can pay $1.
That's correct, John.
But the minimum win bet is $1.04. He's correct.
Yep. So I don't think anybody. But the thing is, I don't think anybody's going to be taking my $1.01. Obviously, but
no, no. But if you could lay a bet,
so
on.
I don't want anybody betting with me because Keystone Dell's just going to win the race.
So the all up is $1.43.
Gee, that sounds all right, doesn't it?
So that's what $1.25 × 115, $1.43.
Well, you're right, JT. I am a whale, and I'll tell you what, the $1.43 sounds
starting
pretty good.
To get a bit enticing.
Sounds
it's
pretty good to me.
The eyes are fluttering in here. Whoa.
And if you take Blake's pseudo pyramid type situation, and you could get anything here because he's got MacTerra Ladd one out. He's got Savannah JT.
We'll get 10-1
out
of the last three.
It's just going to be. Well, let's hope it pays more than the early quaddy last week, $2.40.
That was a very small early quaddy, wasn't
it? Yeah, you knew it was going to be skinny with the winners, but I wasn't expecting $2.40.
No, Blake. Someone had a good dip.
Yeah, Keystone Dell could just about gallop here for a couple of hundred metres and just look around and still win the race. Yep. He's that much better than them. He was astonishing the way he beat Maori time in track record time last start. I was doubting him leading into that race, but he doesn't even have to deal. If he had to deal with a Maori time here, I'd still say he's half honourable because that horse is low flying and he can't afford to make a bad error against a horse like that. Unfortunately, Pretty Sunday's not going as well as she can. Neville Vaughan's headed off to the Monty's pretty soon. Aleppo Sunrise and Aleppo Midas are both coming back from long breaks. And Monorail is
not in his class.
Quite frankly, only in the race to make up the numbers as a stable mate of
very good point,
Keystone Dell. So, $1.01 for me, JT, and he'll be too good, Blakey boy.
Correct. If I was a bookie, I'd be betting $1.01 as well and then laying off everything. But no, he is the horse to beat. He's a genuine superstar.
If you can find somebody out there at Melton to have a good crack at the $1.01, well,
wouldn't we be laughing?
You offer big rebates, though.
True.
Oh, yeah.
But Keystone Dell, he's been fantastic in two runs this time. And look, he's made a couple of mistakes at first up. and then again at the trials, but he put everything together last time. As you say, if he doesn't gallop inside the last 600 metres, he just wins. Like, he's just that much better than them. So I think Neville Vaughan's the one to play for second at odds.
I am a bit worried. Weren't you a bit worried hearing Matty Craven say he's heading to the Montes? Nah, I know some really good horses have gone to the Montes now, but I thought he was better than that.
I just hope he's already been under saddle to freshen him up for this. But look.
It'll pretty Sunday probably run second.
You'd think so. But, yeah, Keystone Dell, horse to beat. Probably a shame it's not a quarter leg because we could have got a free hit, but we move on.
And the last guy's at 10 o'clock. So plenty of time for you two lads to enjoy yourself after the Battle of the Claimers, heat number 4. One scratching number 9 for the Bred fans amongst you. Bonners, who's going to win this?
I am not 100% sure, but I will say Balak Buey is probably the most talented horse in the race. Mm-hmm. Only horse off the second line, but Greg Sugar's the champion reinsman, the Victorian reinsman of the year last season. Should get him into whatever position he needs to. This horse beat Charlie McSheen, I believe, in either a Tontine or a Central Victorian pacing. I think it might have been a Central Victorian pacing championship heat at some point. Two or three seasons ago. So he's got a fair bit of ability. He's been going okay without really troubling the scorer up at Menangle. Emigrates to Ross and Greg Sugars for this Battle of the Claimers series and could be a little chance of winning the series as a whole. We don't know how well he's going. He hasn't trialled recently in his first up from a break. Other horses who you'd be throwing into multiples. My man Dan was heavily back 3 starts ago. When having a crack in Victoria, his form's all in South Australia. He was well beaten there, but he's gone back to SA and cleaned up another couple of wins. Shanghai Knight, Bo Tyndale yet again. Good gate speed, should be in the right spot. And number 6, High Tech Fury, he'll also be having a crack for the lead early. And Ken Brown's done a great job because this horse had a little halcyon period after being a nothing horse. And we thought, well, this is just an Indian summer, as we like to say, by your boy. But he's actually kept the horse going along reasonably well. So no real risk to Balak Buey if he's anywhere near his best, but we might have to play multiples in the get-out stakes.
I'd be playing for value, and I would be playing High Tech Fury because I think there is a little chance that he gets across the lot at the start. And if that's the case, he'll run him along over 17.20, and he will be hard to catch. So it is between those two. Shanghai Knight is clearly your third pick, and then out to the likes of my man Dan. But an interesting way to finish off the card, and I think that you can back on each way High Tech Fury.
All right, lads, before we let you go, this will be up on your website for people to digest at their leisure.
Absolutely, and I hope they've been enjoying it over the last couple of weeks. Because
Gastronomic
delight. They can hear, they can stamp their imprimatur on our website and show us that they've been visiting.
I reckon we nailed it last week. I reckon we got a lot of stuff right last week for the Breeders'
Cup. Well, certainly, hats off to you, as I mentioned again, for your declaration on the Fire of the Stars Men of the Gate.
You had plenty right.
You do throw off occasionally, but you've thrown off in the right direction on this occasion. And look, it was a terrific day. Most of the favourites got up. We probably looked for a little bit of value and that didn't come to pass. But overall, I'd like to think we got most things close to the mark. And hopefully we've done it again here. And check it out, because every week they'll go up, podcast on harness.org.au. Unfortunately, you might have to get a different accomplice for the next couple of weeks, because I'll be off.
Oh, yeah, you're on holidays, aren't you, Bonners?
I'm going on a little family holiday to Queensland for 2 weeks.
Why does Chevy Chase immediately spring to mind?
I think it'll be a lot quieter than that, John.
You're just thinking of Wally's World, aren't you? Just thinking Wally's World.
I reckon it'll be very quiet.
I love National Lampoons. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so is there a new one of those out at the minute?
Or I don't think it looks very good.
No.
Well, I was thinking about going to see it tonight.
That's the one movie that you can watch all of them and you just get something extra out of each of them.
The Christmas Vacation is an absolute cracker. It's a classic.
It's just one of those great movies.
Clark Griswold, and there's, of course, a little Western Districts pacer named after
him. There is. Clark a very Griswold, nice a horse, too. Very nice horse.
Seen him for a little while. But,
would love to know where he's at.
I just love Eddie. Just hand me some more of that turkey, Clark. It is good. Whammy.
You've lost me, boys. You've lost me a lot.
It's all right. You're only 15, mate. You'll get there.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Maybe I'll go see the new one.
Best bets time. Bonners.
Look, I think we can make some money probably out of races 5 and 6 if we're looking for a little bit of value. I'm happy to have a crack at Leanne Awar each way. She's been really good to me this preparation. And Changing Code, I also really like Macterra Lad, but I just think Changing Code, this might be, we might be talking about this race in his last couple when he becomes a free-for-all horse in a little while time. So two horses will be playing at least $5, Leanne Awar and Changing Code, Blakey.
I'll take you on a little bit. I'll just give you one and say back Macterra Lad each way. He won't miss a place, and I think he'll probably win.
Guys, thank you. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Blake, I'll see you next week.
You will see me every week, John.
HAT.